We are in Come Follow Me, week 9, which is Matthew 8, Mark 2 through 4, and Luke 7. And I want to start with an experience I had in the temple. I have never loved the parable where it talks about the laborers in the vineyard, and I think I've shared this before. It's just never sat right with me, and I think it's because I get a little bit into that comparison mode, as we all can do, and think, if I've been laboring all day, why should I be okay with people coming the 11th hour and getting the same reward? And I shared once before, I was in the temple doing initiatories as a worker, and I started to get super emotional, and I was kind of embarrassed because we try really hard not to get in the way of the patrons' experience. And I was trying really hard to control my emotion and praying for the Lord to help me. And the Spirit said to me, look at the date on the card. And I looked at the date on the card, and it was the 1500s. And the Spirit said to me, Aaron, you will never be bothered when those who have waited all day receive the same reward that you have. And it was the first time that I understood that parable. And I can honestly say, I don't think I would be bothered if I knew no matter who it was seeking the same thing I am. And that's God's grace, and that's God's love, and that's God's forgiveness. I don't think I would ever think that someone was not good enough to have what he is offering me. And so with that thought, I wanted to go into our reading this week. And I want to start in Mark chapter 2, 15. And it says, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. So if you look at those three categories, publicans, sinners, and disciples, all of those are me at some point in time in my life. They all represent me. Sorry. Whew. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said to the disciples and the Pharisees, and scribes also describe me at times. They said to his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he saith to them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I want to look at that word whole, because it just goes back to what we studied last week, the blessed on the Sermon of the Mount. Blessed are anyone who lacks, who knows they need the Lord. None of us are whole. The Savior is the only one that is whole. And that is the definition of perfection or complete. We all have need of the Savior. So every single one of those categories had need of the Savior. The problem was not every single one of those categories recognized that. And the thing is to think there are times that I represent all of those. And so the key is for me to remember I have need. And the gift of repentance and the gift of recognizing I am a sinner and have need is the humility. Instead of the comparison of looking at other people and casting out the beam in my own eye before I recognize the mote in someone else's. And so as we go on in verse 18 in that same chapter in Mark chapter 2, it says, and the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast, and they come and say unto him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but the disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Well, if you go to Matthew 17, verse 21, it talks about how they tried to heal, his disciples tried to heal and heal someone and cast out devils, and they couldn't get the devils to come out of this boy. And the Savior says, this kind cometh not out but by much prayer and fasting. So he's not saying that they don't need to fast. What he is saying is, why are you comparing? Why are you looking at them and what they're not doing? Why is this your motive? And I feel like that's what all of this is about, is instead of concentrating on what others lack, looking at our own lack and what we need to do to be blessed, to recognize that he will fill us, refine us, and make us more, because we all need the Savior. And then it goes on, and they complain that they ate corn, remember, walking through the field on the Sabbath. And I love this. He says to them in verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And what that says to me is, we are given laws, ordinance, covenants, all of these rules to become more like our Savior, so that when he comes, we recognize him. He is the law. We can get so caught up in all of the rules and checking boxes. But if we're so caught up in that, we become as the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and we don't even recognize when he's here. All of this is to refine us, to make us more like him, so we become his and we recognize him when he's in our midst. In chapter 3, so the man comes with the withered hand, and it says they sat and watched to see what he would do. And then it tells us, they were watching so that they could find reason to accuse him. And in verse 6, as soon as he does it, and I love that he does, he knows the thoughts and intents of their hearts, but he cares not what man thinks. He's here to do the will of the Father. He is the law. And so he does it anyway. And it tells us in verse 6, they then plotted how they could destroy him. So it tells you what they were seeking for. And then in 10, it says in verse 9 that there were many that came, this whole multitude. And in 10, it says, for he had healed many, insomuch they pressed on him to touch him. So there are those following him to be healed. And then it says in 13 that he goeth up in a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came. And I think this is not an accident that it's recorded this way. And then in 14, it says, he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that they might be sent forth to preach. He ordains his 12 apostles from those who followed up to the mountain, put forth the effort, and continue to follow him and be with him. And I love that. I think it's recorded that way so that we know he recognizes who is seeking after him, what their thoughts and intents are, and who is willing to put the effort in. And now we'll go to verse 35 in that chapter, for it says in chapter 3, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. That's how he knows who is his. It is those of us who seek to do his will for him, not for any other reason. And then in verse 4, chapter 4, this is, I love this, that it says in verse 12, that seeing they may see, and hearing they may hear. And it's what we seek. And if you go down to verse 20, it says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. And that's the whole point. We don't compare to the person who's bringing forth 100. You don't compare with the person who's bringing forth 30 or 40 or whatever, 60. You compare with yourself, the fruits you want to bring forth. And in verse 24 and in 25, and it says, and unto you that hear shall more be given. And in 25, For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, for him shall be taken, even that which he hath. It is so important what we seek. And as you go to Luke, and it talks about this woman who comes and bathes his feet with her hair and kisses and with the oil, and they're so appalled that she would come. I just love at the end of this that it says in verse 47, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And then he saith to her, thy sins are forgiven. Go in peace." And I just imagine him saying the same to us. What a gift it is for us to recognize our lack, to truly want everyone to have what we have. The gift of knowing repentance is real. The gift of knowing of God's love. The gift of covenants, of the power, the enabling power that Christ offers all of us in our life. What a gift, and wanting everyone to have that same gift, to not compare, but to strive to follow him, to be made more. And I love that thought in these scriptures. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.